There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location that will be disclosed soon. We begin construction shortly.
Oh, good. Yes, I'm sick of wandering around these neighborhoods out here for 10, 20 minutes. They all look the same.
You're gonna be fine out here.
It's a pretty rough neighborhood.
Yeah, I know.
It's a pretty rough neighborhood.
This is Baldwin, right?
Yeah. It's the mean streets of Baldwin.
Give away where he was.
Oh, Baldwin. I mean,
still.
It's pretty big.
Still pretty big.
It's pretty big.
I will be so excited because currently you can't tell because it's a podcast. So there's no images.
Oh, I've been videotaping all of these.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But yeah, we currently are sitting in an unfinished basement because I moved, and soon we will have a finished
basement,
and that will be nice because we got spoiled. The last podcast was really
that's
nice.
True.
Masseuses you had on staff.
All I'm saying is the first one we had to deal with was like a closet.
Yeah.
The second one.
That was a death trap.
Yeah.
Lucky we made it out alive.
I'm just really happy.
R.I.P. Blake.
But is that
not
what
all of us made it.
Not all of us made it. So we have a guest that wants to talk. We should introduce him.
That's
and
right.
So he can start talking. So go ahead and say your name.
Hey, I'm Colin Trevor.
There we go. No.
And moving on.
That works.
Yeah. And then he works at KTRS, a radio station in St. Louis. And that's where I do movie reviews every week. And you do movie reviews on a different show because it's
right after you. So yeah. I just listen.
And, I was going to say, do you take Tom's job?
And then he's like, okay, here's what that a-hole got wrong.
I rewrite it. I just listen to it.
I change the word "the" to an "and."
Exactly.
Call it a day.
Good to go.
Do you have your same review writer that Trump has for speeches?
Yeah, you're the Malia Trump of. Is that how you say your name?
I don't Melania. Know.
What is it?
Melania.
You can tell he's also the news guy for the station.
Is she sick or what?
What?
Doesn't that sound like she has some kind of an ailment?
Yeah. She's Russian.
Melania.
She's Russian, right?
A little penicillin will clear
I've
that right
the
up.
The Melania.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, if you say like Menalia, it sounds really bad.
Just change the inflection on one of the syllables.
Now it went before it sounded like an airborne disease. Now it's when you say it the other way, it sounds like an STD.
It does. See, yeah. She's very versatile.
Both are probably correct.
Well, especially when you add Trump to it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Now it really sounds like an STD.
Right. Right.
So well, let's go over and let everybody else introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So this week won't be radically different. You'll get a movie episode, but we're not doing a box office report this week because
Miss Cleo died. So.
Because Miss Cleo died.
Can't do it.
Is that right?
We're all in mourning.
Yes. She did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
How are we going to get our early box office numbers
that's
now?
True.
We're going to have to actually wait now. We usually record these a month before the box office even happens.
Didn't you know that, Joe? In the tank. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You think they'd get posted more quickly.
Well, that's why we do them a month ahead of time so we can get them out kind of when the movie's out in theaters.
Don't lump us all together.
But we actually have to. I do want to mention this. There was a movie, Lights Out, last week.
Yeah.
That cost next to nothing to make. I really enjoyed it.
Did you?
I didn't see it.
See, none of us saw it. Okay.
$21 million, which was more than double what it was projected to get.
On like seven, right?
And it was based on, was it or even
it was
four,
based on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's the
like
video
with video.
It's the light switch
two
one.
Two and a half minutes. So how do
even
they?
Even better.
Oh, okay.
And it was the woman flipping the switch. Right. She's in the movie flipping
that's
the switch.
Cool. Fantastic.
She's the director. I mean, she directed the short video, right? It's her.
Yes, but the guy who worked with her on that actually directed the full movie.
I think James Wan got a hold of it.
Yes.
And was like, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. So how, they, I mean, without spoiling
they,
it.
Well, they hired a, how they did it was they hired a porn director.
Oh.
Yeah, because they know how to take something that was originally 2.5 minutes and expand it to 90.
I know where that was going.
Like it was on a highway in Kansas.
Yes, it was. Just nothing but open road.
So without spoiling it, I mean, how do they take a 2-minute video and make a full-length feature? Like
surprisingly well. Its okay. greatest strength is also its greatest weakness, in that it's one scare. It's a jump scare every time, over and over.
Okay.
But they're really good at it.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
That's James Wan, though.
You do, except they do it in unique settings, which I know sounds hokey, but it works. And then they add enough humor and sort of false scares.
Right.
That's with, James Wan, though. James Wan is a genius.
Oh, so they add false scares.
They add enough Luton buses, to toss a real technical term out there, also called a cat scare.
Right.
Which is fake shout just a couple times so that you're... It's sort of that random reinforcement where there's enough times you get scared that you're happy.
Well, you know how they keep it fresh is one is a fluorescent light that turns on. One is incandescent.
Right, it takes longer for that one to light up.
One's an LED where you're just sitting around
Well, that way the hippies hippies can enjoy the horror movie, too.
Yeah. I mean, 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, there's a zombie thing here. Oh, jeez.
Like, I would enjoy this scary movie, but that's just, that's leaving an awful big carbon footprint all the on and off with the lights. They're LED lights.
Yeah. Well,
never mind.
Eek. I had a great time now.
That's what millennials sound like when they get scared.
Yeah. Do you doubt it?
No.
No. I don't. I don't doubt it at all.
Eek.
We got high pitch.
Eek.
Yeah. See, that's.
Oh, I dropped my Frappuccino on the ground. I'll have to go and get another $6 drink.
My life's so hard.
There needs to be a protest now. So, shameless plug. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. We're recording this in such a short window that we really haven't given people time to join the League of Show Shares.
We've had a couple.
Yeah.
People have jumped on the bandwagon.
So I didn't collect them is what I'm saying. So people are like, why aren't you reading my name? We'll get you next time.
Yeah.
Well, I shared the show this week, so
Kevin
I would
Brackett
like credit.
Joined the League of Show Shares.
Finally.
There we go.
I finally decided after 200 of these things that
you
I would
and
get
Zach
behind
Bach.
It. Yeah.
So don't forget, you can go to facebook.com/realspoilers, join the League of Show Sharers, follow us on Twitter @realspoilers, go to our webpage, realspoilers.com, find us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, helps us tremendously. We greatly appreciate it. So I believe that's all the
hullabaloo,
the work I have to do.
It's good.
And and so now we will just dig into the movie of the week, which is Jason Bourne.
Yeah, so
they Ramboed it.
They did.
They went, you know,
in more ways than one.
How it's like, you know, Rambo, it was First Blood and then First Blood 2.
Was it not called Rambo?
No,
it was called First Blood.
So that's like if you look at the DVDs now, it's Rambo,
like
First
Blood. Same thing they did with Indiana Jones.
Star Wars.
Indiana Jones was Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then at some point they decided to retitle it Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
Like, was it in between movies? Like,
no,
all three
that
of them
wasn't
come out yet?
I think that was after all three of them came out. I feel like they did that before Crystal Skull came out. But I remember when on Community when Abed was doing the thing about how they titled the Rambo movies. I'm like, I've been saying that for 20 years because it's like
always called it Rambo
because it was like First Blood.
Yep.
And then it goes First Blood 2.
Right.
And then it goes
Rambo 3.
Rambo 3.
And then
I'm like, where the hell was Rambo 1 and 2 at? Like that's
and then just Rambo.
Yeah. No. Okay. First Blood. Rambo. First Blood 2. Rambo 3. And I was like, what? What?
Yeah, it's Rambo First Blood 2.
Don't forget about Rambo the animated series.
Oh, how can you?
I don't know.
That's the 80s. I think that's the epitome of the 80s. Well, here's a movie about a Vietnam
PTSD.
PTSD Vietnam vet who's gone kill crazy, and we turn it into a Saturday morning cartoon.
And not only does he go kill crazy, and then he, by the time we get to the fourth movie, he's ripping guys' throats out.
Okay, but the cartoon takes place before the fourth movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not old man Rambo.
Years. No. Yeah. He's still, jacked Rambo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you required to eat your Mr. T cereal while you watch that cartoon series?
No, because he beats Mr. T. In Rambo,
I'm just saying.
In Rambo 3. In Rocky 3.
I was saying Rambo.
In Rambo.
I don't remember that at all. Do you remember who he was helping in Rambo 3?
No.
He was helping the Taliban.
Yes.
No.
Oh.
What? It took place in Afghanistan, and he was helping the freedom fighters who were fighting against Russia, because that was the enemy at the time, right? The Soviet Union. And if you're going to get technical.
Right.
And so that's the Taliban.
Wait, so wow. He fights Russia twice?
Which doesn't make any sense.
He fights the Russians in Rocky IV,
and then he fights the Russians
again in Rambo.
Well, it was the 80s, man.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, he was working with the freedom fighters that were fighting against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, which means Rambo helped train Osama bin Laden.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
That's why they never play that one. They never
that on TV.
They yeah. never play Rambo 3. And
I thought it was just a piece of crap.
Well, it's also that. That is a viable theory. That okay, is a viable theory.
My whole theory.
You can't really spin that. That you know, like hey, you know, like on Saturday afternoons, we're like the movies of the week, and there's Rambo 3, and you're like,
what? Is that the Taliban?
Wait a minute. You don't see that when AMC does their like Sylvester Stallone collection. That one's just left off. They don't talk about
that.
Did they
just copy the Predator? Like, then you son of a bitch, but with him and Osama
helping the Taliban. It's like he's probably looks back now and he's like, man, I wish I'd have done something less controversial, like blackface.
Yeah.
Can I raise they issue the Criterion collection of this in like 25 years,
I don't know that Criterion will ever need money that bad.
I'd buy that. Like, you need to get to Rambo 3. That's how far we've gotten at this point. That you need to put out the Rambo 3.
There's a Criterion edition of Rambo 3.
There's
I'm buying it.
There's a Criterion edition of like Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
But well, I think there's like... You know how like actors, like the big name actors, do like the one for me, one for them.
Yeah,
I think Criterion does the same thing. They're like, it's nice to put out all this Kurosawa stuff, but at some point we need to put out a DVD somebody's going to buy.
Actually going to buy
Armageddon. It is. There's a Criterion Armageddon.
Are you serious?
I see some of those movies where I'm like Criterion. Huh?
I think I own the Dazed and Confused one.
Yeah,
and 12 Angry Men.
But it's the Jack Lemmon one.
It's both.
Oh, do they have it on there?
It's
really?
Both. Yeah. You get both, and I think you might even get a stage play.
Well, I think it was they did a TV like a
the Jack Lemmon one's the TV one.
Well, I mean, like in the 60s or 50s when they were still doing live television. I think there's a TV version.
I love that
then.
Movie.
Yeah. And that's a great movie.
That's a great movie.
Oh, man, what a great in that.
We did that in high school. We did that play as a play in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just amazing because it all takes place in one room, and which is fine for a play, but for a film to take place in one room and never feel like boring is that's just amazing. And that's Sidney
Lumet never seeing the camera.
And that's Sidney Lumet's first film.
Really?
That's his first feature film. Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
And like
it based on a YouTube?
It was actually. Yeah. It was based on a YouTube.
How'd he turn that?
Where a juror would sit there and just
flipping the switch.
Yeah, just flip the switch. Guilty, innocent.
It's about how that
Except
movie goes.
Back then it was a lever that you had to like really crank.
Guilty. Switch got stuck halfway through. Hung jury.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
That works.
So this movie.
Yeah, Jason Bourne.
So you thought you weren't going to be on to talk about a movie,
hey,
but
fine.
This is kind of what we do.
He's like, I saw this movie for no goddamn reason. Yeah. These sons of bitches are never going to talk about this movie.
We thought about
calling the podcast Tangents. So,
A conversational off-roading.
Well, that was previous.
Now. So, as we're standing in line to see this movie, Tom is feverishly reading the premise for The Bourne Ultimatum.
The third one, which has now been retitled The Bourne Penultimatum.
Yes, they have to.
Because it's next to last.
It's next to last, not the last anymore.
I had watched the first two, but I had not had time to see the third one.
Really? You haven't had time to see the third one that came out in like 2002?
I just watched the first one like a week and a half ago.
A busy guy.
Oh, really?
I'd never seen
it. Was that 99?
I think it was 2002.
Is that right?
I think it goes 2002, 2004, 2007. Does that sound right? Yeah.
Okay.
But these are all chronological.
With the exception of the Bourne Legacy.
Right.
I think drops in between somewhere.
Yeah, because they show my news report running around or something in the Legacy.
And then this one picks up where, not really where 3 leaves off. Because
it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
9 years.
9 years.
So now...
Okay, news guy.
So Jason Bourne has kind of, he's been off the grid, and he is doing street fights in nondescript countries, I guess.
Whenever I see street fights in movies like this, I'm just like, I just instantly like kick into work mode. I'm like, how are they marketing?
How do they promote
like,
Street
where
Fighter?
Where do they get the venue?
The underground.
Where, who's handling concessions?
It was the desert.
How do people know? How do people know that this is going on?
I'll tell you right now. It's the desert, so right. No worries. BYOB.
But you know the desert right there. Can you imagine like how? Like how
that's in the desert for Street Fight 151.
How are they getting there?
I mean,
do
you see all the cars there?
It just I don't. Well, and then are they collecting parking? You know how much revenue they're leaving on the table?
I did not think about collecting for parking. That's
well, first of all, when you're in a street
it's
fight,
a major revenue stream. Yeah, you don't just want to give that up. Right.
I just have to say, I mean, I don't care. I don't care if you're fighting Jason Bourne. I don't care if you're fighting the Terminator. But no, you should probably block when you're like coming up to some guy because.
So like, I guess with Jason Bourne, like
the old rope a dope.
Yeah. And he can take enough punishment that he doesn't have to block.
The rope-a-dope.
The rope-a-dope, exactly. Muhammad Ali was famous
for that. I used a sports reference.
You did. Well done. Oh. Not Howard Cosell.
Well, because he watched
Muhammad Ali.
Watched the Will Smith
so
movie.
Did
I tell that story? Yes. When I was a kid, I couldn't remember which one was Muhammad Ali and which one was Howard Cosell.
Okay.
Because you would see them together all the time.
That makes
and
sense.
It was sports. I didn't care. Okay. And it was just like...
He thought the old Jewish white guy was Muhammad Ali.
I don't see color, Joe.
Not back then either, because it was black and white.
Yeah, well, TVs were that old.
He didn't change his name, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah Howard Cosell as a child was Cassius Clay.
Right? See, Tom finally got it right after all these years.
We figured it out. So, he's doing street fights, and he's kind of on the underground. At the same time, we've got Nikki.
Now, did he have to bring his own Nintendo controller for street fighting?
Well, he used the power pad.
Okay.
The big one. Yeah, he didn't use the small one.
Why didn't he have the power glove?
Because nobody wanted the power glove.
I have a power glove.
It's just not fair.
It was worthless.
Man.
It's just not
that power
fair. There's so many buttons. You hold it up. You're
like, you can't use your hand at all.
Do you think that works with the new Nintendo Mini they just released?
I hope.
That has the games preloaded on it?
I hope so.
So Sega just released one, too.
No, that's a fake thing.
Oh,
you got
it was?
Suckered. It's
Damn
not real.
It.
I know. I wanted to play Sonic, too.
Yeah, not even Sonic, but like Streets of Rage. Yeah.
Anything.
All that good Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six.
With six buttons on the face of the controller.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, up, down, up, down. Okay. So
Are
we
you
also
doing aerobics?
See... Yeah, that's what you have to... For my thumbs, that's what it was. So we also... We see Nikki again. Julia Stiles comes back, and she is also still looks pretty good. Gotta tell you.
What has she been doing?
Nothing.
She's never done anything for me.
Really? Oh,
I just personally. She's never done anything for me.
Massive crush on her.
God,
since.
Did she just retire after the last Bourne or something? I mean, I haven't seen her in anything.
No. No. But yeah, like even since 10 Things I Hate About You.
Her face is like kind of flat.
She does have a flat face.
It's kind of weird. It weirds me out.
She kind of has like a Ronda Rousey thing going on.
I could see that.
Can you see that? Yeah. She reminds me of like, she's like the Ronda Rousey of action. For some reason, those two just kind
of. The Ronda Rousey of action movies? Is that
no,
what you just said?
Oh. Action.
Oh. She hasn't won any awards. She can't be the Ronda Rousey. Well, never mind. Somebody. So I have Team Stream on my phone, and they said Lingerie Fighting Club. Said, we would love to bring Ronda Rousey in if she decides to retire from the UFC. And I'm sure they were just like, I got nothing else to put out today, so here, just put this out. Put out this press release.
What is Lingerie Fighting Club?
I'm pretty sure
that's for itself. Self-explanatory.
Is that an official
thing? There's a
lingerie
football
one. Did you think it was a hedge fund? Like, where could you possibly go?
But is it like on, it's they stream
I have no idea.
It? What is
I have
it?
No
I've
clue.
Never heard of it.
No, I have like MMA alerts set up on my phone, and that popped up, and I was like, Fighting Club.
This is the same story he told his wife.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, it's just for my MMA.
I don't have a season pass to the Lingerie Fighting Club or anything.
This is demeaning to women. I have a daughter.
This is awful.
I don't want any.
I can't.
All those girls are someone's daughters.
Yeah, that's
you can't
true.
Even.
I don't want any part of this.
Good cover, Joe.
Yeah,
he totally sold out.
Thank you. So, anyway, Nikki.
Minaj.
No, thank God she's not in this movie. She apparently is working for like an Edward Snowden kind of guy.
I like the Snowden reference in this movie. Like, did they say Edward's like now he's become mainstream enough?
It's worse than Snowden. Imagine,
yeah,
so
you guys know Snowden, right? This is worse than that guy.
He's got a movie coming out. It's so popular.
So she is trying to get back into the CIA. Database, and she ends up hacking her way in this like shipping container that they use as like a internet cafe, I guess. I don't know. So she ends up, she downloads almost all of the Black Ops files that the CIA has, which includes Blackbriar, and what was the one before that? There was two.
Treadstone.
Treadstone and Blackbriar. Mm-hmm.
Black
and
Ops then, 3 came out like last year.
And then Iron.
Did she download that?
She, well, that's our, yeah. And Ironclad or Iron.
Iron Fist or Hand.
Firestone.
Iron.
It was Firestone.
Iron Fist is.
Treadstone.
Treadstone.
And Blackbriar.
And Michelin.
Golly. Is that?
Briar Rabbit.
Blue Bunny.
I like those new commercials.
Iron Hand. It was something amazing.
Well, it's not Iron Fist, because that's Marvel. Would we'll be like, no, yeah, no, 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 no.
Sued. Yeah, it's Iron
Clan.
Iron
Fist
Clan. Yeah, it was Iron Hand. Because there was the scene later with the Iron Fisting.
Yeah, it was really awkward.
No, Tom, you saw the wrong movie.
Did I?
Oh.
You saw Jason Bone.
Oh, that's
what... You thought you were just in Louisiana buying your tickets, but...
What does that even mean?
Like Jason Bone.
Wow. Wow.
Was that supposed to be a Cajun accent?
I don't have the energy to put that on, but in my head it sounded like...
I don't have the energy to change my voice for the next millisecond.
Yeah. I give.
Woo. You who can't handle the truth.
See? Even now I got other people repeating it. It's catching on.
Not for the reasons you want.
Only ironically.
Yeah. So she ends up breaking in and she gets all these files, and I guess she sets off these alarms that trigger the new girl. Is that a girl that has been in other stuff?
She's new.
She's
new.
Brand new?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, she
got to freshen up the eye candy. This movie's
going to have to.
Is Alicia,
you're 15
Vikander.
Years into
is
this
that her
thing.
Name?
Yes. Okay. She's an Academy Award winner, fresh off of a couple of movies.
Yeah.
Ex Machina.
Nobody goes to action
she's
movies.
She's
to see
the
40 year old woman.
Yeah.
She's the robot from.
Got it. Okay.
Ah. Oh, and what else was she just cast in?
I thought I recognized her USB port.
She's going to be in everything.
Oh, gosh.
What? She just got a.
Welcome to Real Spoilers.
Oh, you thought I was bad on the radio.
No, she just got. She was just cast as some superhero lead or
is
something.
Is she in Spider Man?
No, I don't think it's Spider-Man. But anyway, I wish I remember.
Is she the Iron Fist?
That's the other one that she plays opposite of.
Good Lord. So she ends up going to tell Tommy Lee Jones, who, by the way, looks old. Like, looks super
Has
old.
Has he ever not looked
Have you,
old?
I don't know.
I don't care.
Don't.
He looks old.
Just stop
that.
It. Just stop.
Was that Tommy Lee Jones with a Cajun accent?
Oh, was I supposed to use that on the last one?
Now you get a Cajun accent.
Yeah.
He's looked old for like 30 years.
He
though.
Looked old in Coal Miner's Daughter. I was like, is it his daughter?
Can't be.
Well, no. This is the South. He could have married her.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. Just in this one, I thought he looked really, really old.
Yeah, he's really getting the leathery, wrinkly, like he looks like he just stepped out of a wind tunnel.
Right.
Yeah.
No, then his face would be flat.
And in case anybody wants to complain, I made fun of a man's face too. Like
just,
so that's
just so we're aware. It's,
yeah.
Just don't send us hateful emails at tom@realspoilers.com. So she kind of tells him and she says like this person they narrow it down and they use technology very free in this movie. Like it's very we're gonna run facial recognition on
the worst sin you can commit in a movie like this.
What?
Enhance.
They did say
I was
enhance.
Just gonna say they used
they
enhance.
Did. Enhance.
And I was like
enhance.
In a Jason Bourne movie. Enhance. It is interesting to go back and watch the original movies, at least two of them, in quick succession because it really serves as like a time capsule of the advancement of technology.
That's
because
true.
Like in the first one, it's like we're on the cutting edge and like everybody's got flip phones.
Yeah, they had Nokia like handhelds.
Well, and that's what brings them down late is a bar phone. Did you notice that later on? It's an old brick like Nokia phone.
Is that
that's
what he
was
how
using? They trace them and erase the files. We'll get
oh,
to it.
Right.
I'm sure.
That's right.
It's not through his iPhone. It's through his phone from 1997 that somehow, we can hack into and erase files from across the room.
I thought we were talking, at that point I was like, oh, there's a landline.
Yeah.
Like, no.
No, it's this Edward Snowden character carries
the,
a...
Like, I gotta say, all these hackers, kind of the worst hackers ever.
Well, that's like
they're
we
just
talked
leaving
about
digital
this.
Footprints wherever they go.
We talked about this in another movie where someone was supposed to be, like, super high-tech and elite and, like,
oh,
the
it
best,
was that,
and they were using...
it was that George Clooney movie where they kept...
Oh, Money Monster.
And they kept saying, like, they were trying to get some weird nickname for...
It was, what was it? We said we're not allowed to say it anymore. Quants.
Quants. That's what it was.
Yeah, and he's using, like, the
Quants and algos.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, please stop.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's it's like when your mom tries to use slang.
And we're not using like really bad language. This was in the movie.
Quants is in like quantitatives for the Wall Street.
And like algorithms. Yeah. And we're like sitting around table like, did anybody say that?
They just try to throw these buzzwords around like
are they buzzwords? Or was the script writers be like, I don't want to write algorithm.
Do you guys watch Mr. Robot?
No,
I haven't finished season one yet.
So you've seen some of it. They use technology so realistically. Yeah. It's how we interact with technology. And you watch something like that that's on the air right now, and you see a movie that they had years to make.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's so bad. Yeah. It's so awkward.
Because Mr. Robot, I think, has like a hacker that they hired to show them how things would look. And so all the screens is like, he's like doing what a real hacker would do as opposed to like, enhance.
I was really I was really disappointed with it because the other movies I felt like were using the technology of the day accurately, and this just felt like it was just magic. Like it was like, oh, we need this device will do it.
We need to shut down the power to a random place in Germany.
Oh, got it.
He was on a plane and our facial recognition found him coming into Vegas, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, that, I will say
maybe one day, but not
right now.
Yeah,
and especially no. So they realize that she is probably working with Bourne somehow. So she gets in contact with Jason. There's a big, they're in, where are they? Rio.
Oh,
are they?
No.
Greece. They're in Greece.
They're in Greece.
Yeah.
It's one of those
Athens.
Movies.
Yeah, they're in Athens. And like, there's a big,
whenever you hear, you're like, oh, they're in a lunar location. They're typing it on the screen.
We're changing it constantly. Okay, good.
Bangladesh.
Nondescript.
Yeah. I just want to be like a tumwa. Like, what could they possibly be doing in a tumwa?
Nobody knows.
Getting their picture taken in front of the statue of Radar O'Reilly.
That's all he can do. That's it.
It's also, I believe, the home of the founder of IBM.
Is that right?
And it's where that arcade that keeps all the
old school games,
all the world records.
Oh, and really? King Kong, that place.
Yeah, is it Stark Castle? Is that I don't know. But yeah, but they
Winterfell,
Treadstone, Treadstone Arcade is in Ottumwa, Iowa.
All of a sudden, everything shuts down.
I think
down.
So.
What happened? So there's a Tommy Lee Jones kind of dispatches the bad guy from Ocean's 12, whatever that guy's name is.
I have no idea. Right.
You never saw Ocean's 12?
Yeah, the crummy French.
Yeah,
the fox robber from Ocean's 12.
I don't remember that.
Oh man, well, that's a good movie.
Ocean's 12.
I like Ocean's 12.
No.
Yeah, I like that whole series. That
Ocean's whole series 13.
Is Ocean 12. Ocean's 13 was okay. It was a return to form of sorts.
Was Frank Sinatra in it, Joe? Then it
Ocean
wasn't good.
Ocean 12 is the Cannonball Run 2 of Ocean's movies.
I enjoy Ocean's 12.
Okay, please. I thought you were going to say Cannonball Run 2
no.
for a second.
No, I was. Nobody says that.
Their car chase was animated. Like, they just ran out of time.
Was it
and
really?
They were just at the end. They were like, and then we drove to the other side of the country, and it was like really crappy animation. It was just like,
that's
what?
Hilarious.
No, it wasn't hilarious at all.
I mean, I guess if you paid to see it, it's not hilarious.
When you're 13 and you're Cannonball Run 2 and you're like, are you kidding me?
This is terrible.
Is that the one with Jackie Chan not in it?
No, that's the first
Cannonball one.
Yeah, he was in the first one where they made him be like the Ching Chong character.
And then he was not back for number two.
He didn't come back until
he didn't come back to for to,
they made him be the Mickey Rooney
to America.
Right. Yeah, he didn't come. I feel like he didn't come back until Rumble in the Bronx.
I think that was, and even that was not.
That was it was an American movie.
They just dubbed it. Yep. Released, yeah. Yep.
Man, he broke his ankle in that movie.
Yeah.
And then he still did a stunt where he had to like water ski without skis on the back of like a giant boat.
He's the Bob Gibson of Asian
action stars.
He is, man.
Stars. He's that's
two sports references.
That's impressive.
What is going on?
I have an awesome story about Bob Gibson, but I won't tell it on this podcast.
Oh. Yeah. Is it dirty?
No.
Did you make out with Bob Gibson?
not recently. He goes, so okay.
Oh, he's going to tell us. It's going to get juicy,
Mays,
guys.
Willie Mays had and Bob Gibson had the same agent. And the agent goes to Willie Mays' house, and he's got Bob Gibson with him. So Willie Mays opens the door. And he's like, who's the guy with the glasses? And the agent's like, "What are you? It's Bob Gibson. What are you talking about?" And he's like, he wears glasses? And Willie Mays is like, from that moment on, I never leaned in on Bob Gibson because I didn't know where the ball was going to go. Like, because he never wore glasses on the mound. He never wore glasses on the mound. But in real life, he wore glasses every day. So, and they were just like, nope. Never. He's like, I never did it again.
They're probably fake glasses.
He was just messing with them.
Did he then go rub his eyes through where the lenses
are? Through the lenses. They got dirty, so I took them out.
He's the Chris Hemsworth.
So this guy shows up, and like Tommy Lee Jones has kind of said, take her out. And if you can take out Bourne, take him out too.
Because she's been so helpful. Like dinner and a movie, maybe a show. Yeah. Maybe take him out, play.
Of life.
Oh.
Yes. Sorry.
That take him
kill
out.
Them.
That's a different thing
I guess
thing
I should
entirely.
Just say that from okay. now on. So there's a pretty good chase scene. I like this chase scene where he's on a motorcycle and yeah, I liked it. I thought it was
well
done.
I was impressed with none of it till the end.
The chase scene at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
That was a good one.
So he finally gets the perfect, it's almost like that scene in Captain Phillips where like they stop the boat at the right moment and then everything kind of flips forward and like that Navy SEAL has like half a second to get the shot off. So like they just clear like smoke and they end up shooting and he shoots Nikki in the back and the motorcycle goes flying. And then he ends up killing her. He thinks he's killed Bourne, but he can't for sure. Cause they've got cops on the way. They found like these dead people on roofs that the asset has already killed.
This is all happening in the midst of huge
a massive riot.
Yeah, it's like a Grecian riot.
They're upset that they aren't getting free whatever Greeks eat.
Wi-Fi.
Okay, yogurt? Sure. Wi-Fi.
Oh. Euros.
There we go.
Yeah.
The government cut off their supply of euros.
It's a no
so
more,
they want them back.
No more lamb shanks.
Windex isn't being imported anymore.
Oh, Windex. My gosh. What a crazy reference to my big fat Greek wedding. Holy smokes.
Wow. All right.
You remember we making all those jokes about what we were going to do my big fat Greek wedding too?
Kevin actually saw it.
Yeah.
What? We're not still doing that? I was just waiting for the date.
We got that one review. That's all it took. And we got to do Batman versus Superman. So she kind of flips Bourne this USB drive, and so he takes it, and then this entire time, and though...
She's a robot. You don't know where she flips it from.
How big is the USB drive that they use in this movie?
It's standard. Normal I thought it was science. Standard.
This one takes
it
place in the present
encrypted
day.
Encrypted written on it.
I know. Still
my favorite part. Encrypted.
that was hilarious.
Okay, I'm just saying, if you're like a secret agent, you know how big some... thumb drives are now, right? They're like,
oh, yeah, sure, sure.
They're
sure.
Just like the chip part that used to be at the end of that big long stick. Right, now right. It's just like the USB part is the whole thing.
It looked like a random, yeah, because they had to write encrypted on it. So they had to
take a label maker because all the hackers have label makers.
Label maker.
Like, where do you get a thumb drive that says encrypt? I think it's like one of those ADT signs that people put in our front of their house
when they don't really have a
burner alarm. It's like, don't even try it, buddy.
So the bad guys are like, oh crap, this flash is encrypted. I
don't even take it.
Should we plug it in and check?
Nope. We don't go to all the trouble to write encrypted on a thumb drive if not encrypted.
why would they do that? So this entire time, Bourne, they don't really explain what's happening to him. Like, I thought... So in the last movie, in Legacy...
Well, he lost his voice, right? There's only 25 lines in this movie.
He doesn't talk at all in this movie.
Are they trying to have him be like Mad Max or something? Like, what do you think
the reason for that is?
For him to be
talk.
So, like, stoic?
Dan was like, I just want to punch
I know off. These movies are popular, but, like... I kind of don't get it.
Jason Bourne.
So, like, in the first three, he's not.
No, he is. I just watched him. I don't think it's as bad. He's searching for something tangible. Who am I? And then in the third one, he finds out, oh, yeah, I'm David Webb. I know who I am. And then all of a sudden, they have to create a new thing for him to try and find out. It's like, oh, why am I Jason Bourne? And that just feels so forced on top of this whole thing.
It does. And that, like, I will say, overall, I enjoyed this one. It is definitely the most action-oriented out of all of them, in my opinion. I think that there are more action beats and more fight scenes in this movie. And, like, ridiculous chase scenes.
See, I felt like it was really kind of light on the chase scenes. I felt like they were kind of, like...
They blew their wad on the end.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the fourth Jason Bourne movie. You know they got a budget. Like, it's, you know, when they're kind of piecemealing out the action in the first one, I got it.
Right.
But by the fourth one, if you need to piecemeal out the action, then don't make a fourth one. Like, it's not Divergent. You don't have to.
My thought on this is that they escaped the formula for the rest of them.
I would agree.
Bourne movie follows this. He runs up against a sort of next-gen Jason Bourne. So in the first one, it's someone else from Treadstone. Then it's someone from Blackbriar. And then it just increases. They're always better than him, but he can still beat them. And so he has an initial encounter with them. He loses in one way, loses something. He fights off someone else that's a part of that group. And at the end, he takes out the guy who's better than him.
Yeah.
And this did not have sort of that secondary main bad guy that he wasn't fighting the whole system. He was fighting like one person. And I don't think that works.
He was on the run for the one guy.
You need that other heavy who's providing like a mortal consequence if he fails. And that's not here.
Well, I feel like in the other ones, right? Like you've always got like you said, like the one guy, but then you've also got like the person pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first one, it was Chris Cooper.
Yes.
In the second one, it was
Geppetto.
What?
Geppetto, okay.
Was pulling the strings?
When was he Geppetto?
I don't know. Geppetto pulls strings.
For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, we need to go back to Sunday morning recording.
In the second one, it was Joan Allen?
She was fighting against the white-haired guy, the big, fat, old guy.
The guy who was doing an impression
Joan Allen
of...
from the I Love Lucy knockoff sitcom from the 50s? I Married Joan?
I don't think that's right.
It's Pam Landy was her name. I don't remember her... Like, it was a character's name.
He's making a joke.
Yeah. There was a sitcom.
What's her name, though? Like, is it actually Joan Allen?
I think it is Joan Allen. Okay. Yeah. But there was a like a knockoff sitcom of I Love Lucy called I Married Joan.
Really?
Starring Jim Bacchus.
This is why you need Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Dan would get had a really catchy theme song, though.
But they just
I Married Joan. What a girl. What a gal. What
well,
a life.
At least we know what our outro song will be this week.
No, I already sent it to Kevin.
Oh.
The funny thing is, though, they sang it in a Cajun accent.
Yeah.
You just don't know because it's so old. So.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't have time. Yeah. But where did Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. Oh, yeah. Not Stacey Keach.
Not Stacey Keach.
And then it was weird. I just looked at I never saw Born Legacy. And, like, Stacey Keach is in Born Legacy.
Is he really?
I assume he's playing not Brian Cox.
And then Ed Norton. It was in
Ed
Born
Legacy.
Ed Norton was in Born Legacy.
He's in Legacy.
And then we've got. So, like, you've always got, like, that one government agent who is controlling the thing overall. And in this one, it's just, like, the government agents. And you've got two government agents and then the bad guy.
How did the third one end?
He jumped off a roof.
Into the water, right?
Into the water, into a river. And he found out he was David Webb. He was on top of the facility where he was indoctrinated and almost drowned. And the bad guy comes up there and goes to shoot at him. And he jumps off. And the implication is, he was shot. But then he swims away and he wasn't actually shot.
It's like the opening scene from the first one. Isn't that what it is? It's like an homage to like that.
Yeah, how he was found in the water.
Yeah.
Except this time he swims away and then awesome music plays and...
Man, I haven't seen the third one, but I read about it on Wikipedia, and
it's almost the same.
That just seems like that would have to be like three movies to find out who you are. Who are you, David Webb?
All right, man. See ya.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
It's like
that was anticlimactic.
It's like how when people are reincarnated, and they're always reincarnated as somebody famous. You know, like it's kind of like it's
is that
like,
what it's like?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of that. It's like that's why people are always reincarnated as somebody famous.
Oh, I see. Because
they're like, oh, who was I in a past life? Oh, you were a shoemaker in Belgium in the 1800s.
Well, except he kind of took down the program at the end of the third one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He got rid of David Strathairn, or however you say his name.
I struggle with that, too. There's no shame in it.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So why is he still wanted?
He's all because he's Jason Bourne. Like he's the top. He's the guy.
He probably killed a bunch of government people.
Yeah,
trying to do all that.
He knows everything. That's the other thing.
Trying to bring the trailer. One of his 25 lines. Yeah.
So they'll never stop hunting him. Basically, he's just always going to be wanted.
I mean, yeah, probably
like Rambo.
Like Rambo.
is he
wanted
in
Rambo 3? He's not wanted in.
Why? He was probably wanted in Rambo 4. He helped the goddamn Taliban.
That's true. What's he doing in Rambo 4?
Being awesome.
No, he's helping the
students,
like
isn't
the teachers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I just remember when he just like melted that guy's face with the machine gun.
I saw
gun.
It in theaters, and like when he turns around that 50 caliber
at that
gun,
point,
I'm like,
I
like,
knew
the gun is like in the guy's face. I was like, that's gonna be gross.
Rambo 4 was awesome.
It was awesome. From that point on, like
Rambo
when stuff
4
gets started,
was like the most bro movie of all time.
And I don't know really like
so
movies
bro.
Like that, but Rambo 4 was like because they just owned it.
Yeah,
they're like
at some
this
point
we're
just
double down.
So awesome that you're just like I don't care.
He pulled a dude's throat out and hit somebody else in the face with it. Like
awesome.
That's a thing that happened in that
are
movie.
They making a Rambo 5?
They've talked about it, but the way they ended the last one, like,
I think they were talking about trying to make it a TV show.
Oh.
Huh.
Like The Equalizer?
And he's making Lethal Weapon into a TV show.
He was
going to
pass on the Rambo mantle or something.
Rush Hour is the same. They did a Rush Hour TV show. But like I could see them doing a remake of Lethal Weapon with Damon Wayans as Murtaugh. I'm like, okay. I can accept that part. And then I see the other guy doing his best Mel Gibson impression.
Cause and like taking the lines exactly from the first movie, like
which I just rewatched, like, because like they just added all three of all four of them to Netflix.
Yeah.
And but yeah, like it's he's doing the exact same lines. It's the exact
it's just
same.
Like,
scenes.
Why are you making a complete remake? Like, just own it and make your own thing. But we don't need to. We can go back and watch that first one.
And
right?
It's way better.
Now, does he hate Jews in this one too?
They probably left that part out.
You think they left that part out?
I think they probably did.
Well, because he said he was
diplomatic immunity.
Well, that was, I mean, that was on the phone after hours. I don't think that was in the first one. That was not part of the, that was not a deleted scene.
It's been a while. I saw it in the theaters. It's all a little fuzzy.
Such a good movie. Back to this one. So Jason, he goes to find this not Edward Snowden guy, who is also like just complete. He reminded me of the guy from Project Almanac. Like that. Yeah.
Like he was like really
super
like
was,
a model, but he had glasses on. And
no,
they're like, oh, he's nerdy.
No. Like he was more, I guess that actor. Like, yeah. I guess he was more like the guy from We Aren't Your Friends. Like that version of that.
You're the one who saw that?
All three people, at this table saw that.
It's worth listening to because we hated it so much. It was a very slow week for film.
It was, yeah.
Wow.
I can't believe that's the one we chose. Like now thinking back, just
I don't think there was anything else.
I know, yeah,
out.
But sometimes, like we've said before, sometimes those creep up on you, yeah. And they make the best episodes ever.
Oh, they're fun. It's just funny. We usually pick what we think will be the best, and it's like or we think that was.
Or we look at a week and we're like, we should do like a deep fried taco week.
Yeah.
No, we've chosen see that one instead. So he uploads the files, and it turns out that like. They were keeping tabs on him before they brought him into Treadstone, him being Jason Bourne. And his dad was involved, which his dad has not been referenced in any of these movies until now. Like, they just now brought him up. And I will say, the actor that they got to play his dad, it's one of those situations where it's like, you could be his dad. Like, that was pretty good cast. Like, you guys, he looks like an older version of Jason. We talked about that in San Andreas. When they had The Rock and Carla,
oh yeah,
whatever her name is, and they had like, the girl was like, you could totally be their daughter.
Yeah,
like, that's pretty good.
Little did you know that was actually just The Rock with a wig on.
Yeah,
like Bugs Bunny.
That's why.
Yeah, I was wondering why the muscles look so big.
Joe just can't tell the those little minor details. Yeah, you know, it's so convincing.
Well, you know how I don't see color.
Yeah,
he doesn't see gender.
That's right.
Makes things very awkward.
Yeah. Your poor wife.
She has no idea.
It's awful. Explains why she walks funny.
It does, yeah.
Whoops!
I'm going to look
You're
at her.
Never doing another one of these, are you, Colin? You're like, never again.
He's been on before.
I know, but he's like, this is bad even for them.
You've been on
that?
Before.
I don't remember.
I don't even
yeah.
We are. The sad thing is, it was We Are Your Friends.
Man, I want to organize a massive DVD buying campaign for We Are Your Friends. So the studio sees it and they're like, oh, we should totally do another one. There's definitely a market for this, like secondary market.
You'd probably only have to buy like six of them.
If you could find six.
I don't think you could find it. Skyrocket. It's 700%. How did that even happen?
You know, if you did that, this could be a good plan because like you so there can't be that many. You wouldn't have to buy that many to kind of start to corner the market, and then people would want to buy it just because they couldn't find it.
Yeah,
it's like the ET game. You could create a market for something.
What a weird story that is. It's so strange. They're just like, we found them in a landfill. We found like 9,000 games in a landfill.
So it's bad we buried it. How imagine a movie
it
that
was
bad,
so bad.
That they're like, oh, we just
that game was
it.
So bad.
Did you play it?
I feel like I did. I feel like I played it.
Wow.
I feel like I just being like, are you kidding me?
It was almost like the Spider-Man game. I do remember playing like where Spider-Man was just like a red dot and a blue dot.
There was a Raiders of the Lost Ark game that was kind of like that. And
oh,
it was
really?
Like
with
one of these games
bit graphics.
Where you had you had to like solve puzzles, go in rooms and get certain items and to get to the next room and you just and there was no help. You just had to do it.
Well, that box looks a little different than those boxes.
Yeah.
So if
and there was nothing.
There's
and
an extra pixel on that.
I remember my friend Nick, the guy that's gonna refinish the basement. We spent a whole summer till we finally figured out how to. And you finally would get in this room, and there would be these really fast snakes. I assume that they were snakes.
I hate snakes.
And they would just like come like flying right at you. And it's like
you can't move fast in those games.
No, and you're just like, and then it took us forever to beat that.
It was
and
like
then,
the Friday the
13th and then you beat
game.
The game, and it's the first like home game I really remember that you could beat, and like there was an ending to it, and then like you would like you'd be on this little platform, and you would elevate up, and you would leave the underground place that you were the Well of Souls, and you were done.
Really,
and we were just like, are you? That's it. Man. But we wanted to finish it because it was the first game I ever remember that you could actually complete.
Like, as opposed to Pong and things that just...
Up until then, like, they never...
Well, Pitfall. You could beat Pitfall.
Oh, no. Did anybody ever beat Pitfall?
No.
I don't think you could beat the first Pitfall. I think you could beat Pitfall 2. I think that was completable, but I don't know that the first Pitfall was really completable.
Oh.
Well, we know how good Tom was at Pitfall now.
Yeah, it's good. I could
did you ever watch the Indiana Jones series? Young Indiana Jones?
I did. Was that what was River Phoenix? A couple. They were pretty good, though.
You know what's really funny about it, though? They're on Netflix or Amazon or one of them. They're in the wrong order. Like, the episodes are numbered 1, 2, 3. You're not supposed to start with 1. They, when they uploaded them digitally, they're all in the wrong order.
Well, I know.
You're supposed to, you've got to go, you're, it's like, okay, you need to watch 2, 4, then go back 1, 3.
Well, I know it was weird.
That's
like,
terrible.
I think what happened is, I've read about this, is that they, when they recorded, when they aired them out of order, because they aired them as kind of like Sunday movies. There's only like 18 of them or something. And so it was like a series of made for TV movies, and so it wasn't really designed initially to be every week you'd get one. And so they aired them out of order, and so I think what happened is when Netflix, they just picked up the broadcast order instead of the actual order.
Which one was River Phoenix in?
Well, River Phoenix played a young Indiana Jones in the third
in the movie.
Last Crusade. And then and then they made a young Indiana Jones series.
I gotcha.
And I think he pops up in an episode, and then Harrison Ford pops up, I think, as like an old Indiana Jones.
He's like, hey guys, I'm going to the Viper Room. See you next week.
Yeah. <they're> like, oh, Vipers. Why did it have to be Vipers? and then I think they both might make appearances. And they got
Harrison Ford to come to a TV show. Huh?
Yeah, because it was made by Lucasfilms. Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to all be in continuity. And they thought it was going to be this big, huge hit, and they were gonna.
That was like
they were gonna have like three different actors play him at three different ages. It was gonna be.
It was like
thing.
The young Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. And like Extreme Ghost. No,
yeah, we should finish this movie.
We should. So yeah,
no, you're fine. We all do it. I ain't mad at you.
So because he has used this encrypted the encrypted flash drive that also lets the government locate exactly to the street, house, apartment number where they are. This is where they use the Nokia phone to mm-hmm. delete all of the files off of a flash drive that is across the room, because I don't think that's a thing. I don't think you can do that.
Do you have a thumb drive that says encrypted?
I don't.
Then you don't really know.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't know anymore. I have no idea.
You don't know.
I don't have a thumb drive that says encrypted. This is a whole echelon of file encryption, yeah, Joe. You've never seen this before.
The file encryption isn't the problem. It's the deleting of said files.
You, sir, owe this film an apology.
Well, did you notice? Now, this might be in the deleted scenes, but the Nokia phone, you flip it on the other side, label maker, unencryptor edition.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
If you peel off, and you know how you unencrypt it? You just peel off the label.
No longer encrypted. So this is like, so the Snowden guy is like, just let me keep the files and I'll release them. The world needs to know. And Jason Bourne's like, fuck you. No. And like, you don't get to do anything. And he takes it out. And they shut the whole thing down. And then Snowden attacks him with a pipe for no apparent reason. And then he beats the bejesus out of him.
Like a Sherlock Holmes pipe?
No.
Like a crack pipe?
Like a metal pipe. Well, I guess a crack pipe could be a metal pipe, I guess.
I think they're glass.
I think they are glass. Yeah. Yeah.
Aldi?
Here, I found Aldi's. A thumb drive that says encrypted in, I think, Chinese. Is it in Chinese, is it pronounced Toshiba?
Yep.
Okay.
That sounds about right. I was really worried for a second that you were going to do an offensive, like, read something in Chinese.
No.
And I was like...
Well, that was his attempt at a Chinese accent.
I was like, you know what? He's not Kevin, so I don't have to worry about it.
Or you.
Or me. Or Dan, for that matter.
It makes me wonder what I would have said that would have scared you. Like Joe's like, I don't want somebody to get racially insensitive.
I'm not racially insensitive. Wow. Just about dead people. So... Now Bourne is on the run again, and he, like, the entire time, the hotshot new CIA agent is saying, like, I can get him to come back in. He believes that, you know, once he's reached this point, he has nowhere else to go. He'll come back in. And I did think at one point, I was like, oh, she's the new Nikki. Like, there's something else going on where she doesn't like Tommy Lee Jones's character anyway.
Yeah.
So
that,
like,
was played well, because I kind of thought.
It was a good double fake.
Yeah.
So she starts to kind of, like, shoot Bourne some text messages and says, you know, you've got like 2 minutes or something, and giving him all these different heads up. And I was like, all right, so she's gonna leave the CIA and they're gonna be, you know, buddies.
So he had 2 minutes, which means, what, probably 10 minutes later is when the clock went to three, two, one.
So at the same time, there is this, I don't know what else to call it. He's the guy from the new HBO show. Is it, what, One Night?
The Night Of.
The Night Of. He's the main character. It's very good. And he's very good. Mm-hmm. That whole episode, that first episode, I was like, just sit down.
Yeah.
Like, you're making all the wrong decisions right now. You're driving me insane. So he runs like Facebook. Like, he's almost like a Mark Zuckerberg kind of.
Almost.
So he's Mark Zuckerberg.
Except it had the weirdest name.
Dream State? Is that what it was called?
Deep Dream.
Deep Dream.
As if, I'm going to give all my information to Deep Dream. That doesn't sound like a secret government project to take all of my personal information.
I don't know. If somebody had said Facebook 10 years ago, you'd be like, that sounds stupid.
Oh, except our parents had Facebooks in college. Like a physical Facebook. That's what it was called.
Do they?
Yeah, it was
that's
a Facebook.
That's what it was based on, was the Facebook. Yeah.
Parents didn't go to college.
Wait, what do you mean it was called a Facebook?
You got it.
That was a
when
thing
you were in college,
Facebook.
Every year you got a, it had everyone's picture in it, and it had, oh, this is where they live, and this is their, like, on campus, this
like
is where they live.
Book.
So yeah, even then, like they were invading books. Your privacy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So it turns out that he's developed this new algo. To like you
what
input,
a quant
you
what
shut
a,
your dirty quant
what a dirty quant
you put in all of your information, like, as he's telling them, like, when they're describing what the new platform would be, I was like, that sounds awful. So you put in all of your personal information and they will, like, tailor make the internet for you, so all of your interests and all of the other stuff is going to pop up because you've entered all this information. And I was like, no. Like, who in their right mind?
What
but then I
Joe
think about
obviously
it,
doesn't have a Pinterest account.
Like, how long would that take?
Forever.
Like, maybe I kind of like that book. That just sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. Like, I might go to the hockey game.
But see, then it's easy to find terrorists because they do, like, suicide bombs for dummies.
Can I log in?
He's a bad guy. Go get him. I mean,
can I log into Deep Dream with my Facebook account?
Can I link the two? Can I just do that already?
Yeah.
The stuff that I've liked on Facebook. So it turns out that this guy has been working with the CIA. The CIA funded his initial startup, and he has been feeding them information this entire time. Like, all of the privacy, everything.
And this is not NZ's Ansari.
No. Which, you know what? Would make this movie a little funny.
Oh, that
would
have been great.
Oh, my God.
At
so
first,
I just finished
Parks. Because, you know, they do the kind of shaky cam.
Yeah.
And so at first I thought it might have been. And,
and
then
it would be him playing... the character from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, that'd be Tom Haverford.
He finally made it.
I'm
he
like,
had the one big thing that made it.
Snake juice didn't work.
Tom's Bistro didn't work.
Chicky Chicky Parm Parm. Pre-Birds.
I just finished that show. That show is so good.
I love that show so much.
That show was great.
DJ Roomba.
Sorry. I love Anzi.
Money.
Like, was it Transformers 3?
I didn't get past 2.
But they offered him a role, and they were like, you're going to play like a computer tech nerd. And he's like, no, I'm not. And he wasn't a big deal at the time. And he was just like, no.
His stand-ups are great.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. That's his
but the third one actually was kind of entertaining.
But he was just like, no, you're hiring me because I'm of Indian descent, and the Indian guy runs the computer. So, no, we're not doing that.
They should have gotten the guy from Silicon Valley, who is just as funny. He's
Kamal
great.
Nujani,
yeah,
isn't
he
it
is,
or something?
Yes.
Oh,
he
is funny.
Great.
Yeah.
Or they could have just got the guy from Short Circuit to do it.
Have you ever seen
Fisher Stevens?
Did you see the article that Anzis Ansari wrote an article for like the New Yorker or something about that guy?
Really?
Fisher Stevens?
About Fisher Stevens playing
that character?
That character, because he's not Indian.
He's
American.
Anti?
Yeah, and he was saying how like he was really hurt because he's like he grew up watching this movie and it was around 15 or 16, I think, that he figured out that the guy wasn't really Indian.
I had no idea until like he showed up on an episode of. Not like Law and Order or something, and I was like,
because he is
minute.
On one of those shows, isn't he?
Yeah. Like, he shows up as like a bad guy.
Oh.
I mean, he was
on Lost.
Columbo.
Yeah, he was on when they first rebooted Columbo as a movie of the week for ABC. He plays the Spielberg type.
Yeah,
dude.
He's in Hackers. He's the bad guy in Hackers.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, no, sorry, I was making my references.
He's
up.
White.
Right. In the article, like Anzis Ansari calls him and he's like, "Why would you do this?" And he was like, "You know," he's like, "I was a struggling actor and they offered me this role," and he's like, people didn't think like that then. He's like, and he goes, "I know it sounds silly in retrospect, but like if they had said, would you play a black guy, I'd have been like, no, I would never
do that."
And he's like, And he's like, and I took it really seriously. He like, I really studied Indian culture, and like, I went with to a linguist so I could talk right. Like, I didn't just want to adopt a funny
voice.
Yeah,
I mean, in that movie, it's not a parody. Like, no, it's not and making fun of anyone that's Indian. Like, it's not a real character, which is what's
interesting. And I remember the tone of the article was Aziz Ansari was like, I wanted to hate this dude. And he's like, but he really wasn't doing it to mock people, and he did take it seriously, and he's like, it shouldn't happen. Like, he didn't
don't get me wrong,
but he was just like, you know, I thought I was going to go in this, be like, you can just read him the Riot Act, and he was like, I was just a guy that needed work, you know. You know, which is also, I think, explains the disconnect for in Aziz Ansari when you talk about how they offered him kind of a role that would be kind of demeaning and reductive, and he was just like, No,
I'm good. I'm all right.
You know, but that's anyway, it's out there somewhere. It's an interesting
story. I'll check it out. Yeah. So there's this tech crunch. Is kind of like, I don't know what else. E3
tech crunch.
That's from Silicon Valley. By the way,
how?
Exocon, and this is where
so awful.
Not Mark Zuckerberg is going to tell the world that he has been taking money from the CIA to feed them their secrets. So Tommy Lee Jones pretty much says to The Asset, who you'd recognize him. You know, I can't think of this guy's name to save my life. He was the bad guy in something else, too. He's always the bad guy. He's never the good guy.
Oh, the bad guy in something else.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The guy with the
hair. This is like your grandparents trying to describe an actor.
Wait, now, was he the bad guy in that other thing?
No, that was the guy. That was the other guy.
Something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get the other thing and something else mixed up.
Yeah. He's the guy with the hair.
Oh, the hairy guy from the other thing.
Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he says, like, okay, he realizes that this young upstart is gunning for his job. So he says, take him out, take out not Mark Zuckerberg, and take out not Julia Stiles. Take them both out, and then you have to shoot me in the hand. So it looks like I was trying to save, you know, so they don't think that I'm the bad guy, too. And then, like, the not Mark Zuckerberg gets out there and just starts talking. And Tommy Lee Jones is like, oh, crap. Do it now. Do it now. And then, so finally, Jason Bourne is there as well.
This sounds like the plot of something from Grand Theft Auto 5.
the plot is very slight.
I can't believe that you're recreating this plot in front. Like, I would
not have any idea how to.
This is what happens.
They're chasing the guy, and he knows that he's the guy.
He knows he's the guy.
I was like, and there's some punching and some kicking. Yeah. And they drive a car for a little while.
And they do a little bit more driving. It's kinda more punching and kicking.
It's kind of grainy and out of focus.
But you
like
played
in a
Grand
cool
Theft Auto, right? Oh, you didn't? Did you play Grand Theft Auto 5?
Not 5.
Okay, so in 5, there's a tech startup like Facebook, and your job is to go and install something in the guy's phone. And so when he's given a big speech, his phone rings, and he picks it up, and his head blows off because he put a bomb in his phone. I'm like, this sounds like they just stole this plot from Grand Theft Auto 5.
It sounds kind of similar. Yeah. So Bourne
shines a light at the guy.
Yeah, he elbows a giant spotlight and just hits the guy perfectly. He shoots up in
the bat signal. Did he borrow it from Ben?
I will say, he might be a pretty good Green Arrow. The more he said, he's like, I'll do a
superhero
movie.
He's got to be Robin.
No. He's like, you could do Batman and Green Arrow. Like, they're buddies. Like, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, I could see that.
Matt Damon?
Yeah. As Oliver Queen?
Yeah. You'd have Green Arrow rape Batman because Zack Snyder sucks. And that would be the story. Sexual assault
in Gotham.
I don't know. I don't see him as Oliver Queen.
I
could have seen him as Speedy when he was younger.
I could see that. Needle sticking out of his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at your sidekick.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just think that if he's ever going to play anybody, I think Oliver Queen's the way to go. Or Shazam, maybe? Captain Marvel?
No, he's not big enough for Shazam.
I guess.
I just don't see him. I don't know. I'm not really on the Matt Damon action hero train.
Batmite.
There it is. I can see that.
Mr. Mixes Pitlick.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys... I've never gotten the Matt Damon action hero thing. He just doesn't do it.
Did you see the first Bourne in theaters?
I think so.
See, that's what sealed it for me. I saw it and I'm like, okay, I buy this.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
I'm not a big fan
of these movies.
I think this character is so boring. There's nothing interesting about the character.
I like the character.
If it wasn't played by a movie star.
It wasn't at one point. There was a TV show, wasn't there?
Maybe.
I don't think so. I think it was.
It's like 50 bucks.
Or like a TV movie.
Was it Jason? Like,
I don't know.
Before this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, not like the, to cash in.
No. Like before, yeah. I'm almost positive there was.
I don't know. For some reason to me, and again, and I'm not a big fan of these movies, so maybe that's why. Maybe, I mean, these are probably the solidifiers, and I don't really like them, so maybe that's why I don't see it. But when everyone's like, you know, Matt Damon is an action star, I mean, he's a good actor. I just don't see him as like a summer blockbuster type, in my opinion. I just don't really get it.
I think
Bourne Identity from 1988.
Yep.
Hmm. Starring Peter Vaughn as Fritz Koenig. Hang on.
That doesn't make any sense.
How does Jason Bourne not get listed first? That's weird.
Yeah, so, but no, I see him as, like, I see him as, like, the reluctant action star who kind of just, like...
Is Jason Bourne in this movie? Like, I'm...
Look for David Webb. See?
Ah, they tricked you. I forgot you not. I had to go, like, 30 names deep to find Jason Bourne. Like, I'm going past, like... Like
policeman number four,
Vietnamese boy, who somehow made it onto two episodes. Maybe he got killed at the end of part one. It was like a very special.
They brought his body back.
Blonde man gets listed before Jason Bourne.
It's got to be alphabetical names, then, right?
Gillette.
Is it alphabetical?
The best a man can get. No, here's General Conklin
as appears on screen. Maybe he
French
was introduced
priest.
Later.
I will say the books are dry. Like, the books are super dry.
Oh, there is a young David Webb, so they did, yeah. Mm. But yeah, but he was played by Richard Chamberlain.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he in King Solomon's Mine Tomb?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was. That was like the Indiana Jones knockoff.
It was the canon Indiana Jones knockoff.
And they filmed them simultaneously.
Yep. That was with Sharon Stone.
Yeah,
that was where she first showed up.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyway. Jason thwarts the assassination attempt, and then everybody kind of gets away. Tommy Lee Jones goes up to his room, and then Jason follows him. Tommy Lee Jones has already gotten the information that, like, maybe through the psychiatrist report that the young hotshot CIA agent had, that so now he's trying to be like, just come back in. And then does he go to shoot Jason first?
Yeah, he hits him in the head and he falls down, and he pulls the gun. He's gonna shoot him while he's on a knee,
right?
And that's when Alicia Vikander walks in,
comes in and shoots Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
And then when she shoots Tommy Lee Jones, I was like, all right, she's on Jason's side. There is no doubt in my mind that she's a good guy. And she played the entire time she's played the good guy. Then you got a really good chase sequence. As we're walking out, I was like, I wonder why Chevy was a sponsor for this. And then you get to that last sequence, you're like, oh, because there's a Charger in the end of this movie for like the next last 10
Chevy
minutes.
Doesn't make Charger.
What did they do?
Dodge does.
No, okay, so what was the Challenger?
No. Dodge.
No. What was it?
Dodge. Chevy was at the very end. They were in Tahoe when we get the final reveal of
good,
and she drives
what was he driving?
To the to the meetup.
So he was driving.
This is all very crucial information. I hear that
Chevy Cruise.
Yeah. So there's a giant. So the hitman is getting away. Jason chases after him, and he's driving a
Tomb Raider. She's the new Laura Croft.
That's what it is.
Oh, it was between her and Daisy Ridley. Like, Daisy Ridley was like the name that they were throwing around for that forever, and I was like,
I think she's better for
this. This one's better. Yeah.
As adorable as Daisy Ridley is,
yeah, she's just not. I don't know. I don't see her. I mean, she's awesome in Star Wars. I just think that Alicia will do better.
So, I have, as we all know on this show, I have a huge problem with quick cuts.
Yeah,
I think Paul Greengrass gets a pass.
Yeah, because
he is the guy that created
it. I was gonna say,
here's the thing. It's like anything, it's a tool, and it can be used well or it can be used poorly. And I feel like Greengrass typically uses them to heighten tension and create the feeling that you're in the middle of the action.
He's the one that created, like, shaky cam action.
Yeah. Well, he's the quick cut action.
And I think most directors, when they go to that, it's because they don't have the money to film the scene right, and they don't want to go to the time to choreograph an interesting fight scene, so it's just jump, 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 jump.
Yeah. And this one, there's, I think you've got like two pretty good fist fights, one being at the end of the movie, and he uses the quick cut, but for whatever reason, like, it works.
It adds to the impact of the punches. He times them with the blows. It's not like in between,
right,
to sort of shift perspective. It's like he does it as someone is hitting someone. And so it feels, it felt jarring to me, yeah, as if I were getting punched. I think,
yeah,
it adds
it's,
to that.
It's not,
yeah,
it's not like that train scene in Tarzan. No. Where it was just like,
yeah,
and that's where I felt like I was getting punched having to watch that movie.
But yeah, there's this fight, there's this chase sequence where the bad guy is driving like
this
a SWAT
scene
van,
was great,
and he, mm-hmm, and Jason is driving he's driving a Charger, right?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
He's stolen a Charger from the police.
Like, that's the only thing that they're reporting on?
Now I see why Chevy sponsored this.
They're not, shut up. They're not reporting that someone stole the SWAT indestructible vehicle. They're like, someone has a police car. Get him.
They're not saying that somebody stole, like, the SWAT van that has bulletproof vests, mm-hmm, and AR-15s and smoke bombs. It's the guy that stole the Charger. They're like, get him!
This cop car, which is actually a Dodge Charger. That's right, Charger.
I don't think it was a cop car.
No, I don't know.
Oh. So, yeah, they're just tearing through Las Vegas, and it is awesome. Like, there's a whole scene where...
I love when the SWAT van is just pushing
just
through cars.
Just blowing cars. Oh,
that was great.
It was so good.
That was good. The scene was so good. I stayed awake through almost the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Good job. Yeah. And it's long. Like, it's a long chase scene.
I know. That's why it's so impressive. I stayed awake.
He one-ups himself. Every single one of these movies with the chase scene, he one-ups himself. So this is the biggest.
Who directed the first one?
He did.
Paul Greengrass?
No, he did not.
Yeah,
I thought
he did.
He did not. I forget who did. But
he did Ultimatum and Supremacy.
He came in on the second one
and didn't do Legacy. And then
first one was some action. I can't remember who it is. It's not like a huge name, but you'd know him.
Okay, he went on.
I was going to tell you in a second. He's that guy.
He did that thing.
With the guy.
Of course.
Exactly. Right.
Wait. The first one was which one?
Identity.
Oh, okay. I went to the wrong movie.
Identity, Supremacy, Ultimatum, Legacy.
Because, like, they didn't... So
a horrible system they got going on. At least do it alphabetically.
On my shelf, they're in numerical order, not alphabetical. But, like, so he and Damon left and
Doug Liman.
Doug Liman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They left to do Green Zone.
I saw him put in a coconut once.
Oh my God! That's terrible.
Thank you. Can you give him some crap for that, please?
No.
Why not?
Because I feel like Tom, like, because
I know it's a bad joke.
That it's bad. You think you're like Jerry Seinfeld at the height of his career, just dropping jokes.
And I think I'm Jerry Seinfeld right now.
I'll tell you what, riding in cars with comedians is pretty good.
I actually haven't watched.
That's a good show.
I think it's going to win the Emmy.
Really? Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good.
It's fantastic.
So good. Let's get to the end of this goddamn thing.
Sorry.
So big fight. Really good fight. Really good. This was the best action set piece of the entire film.
It was really good. This was the best scene in the
movie. Right. Turns out that this... So the bad guy is out for revenge because in the third movie, Jason divulged all of the identities and locations of all of the secret agents, and this guy got caught and was in prison and tortured for the last 3 years. Then they also throw in the fact that he killed his dad, like that this guy. But so, like, I was telling Colin as we were leaving, I was like, just leave it as that he got caught by Jay. Why do you got to throw in the dad thing? Like, there's no reason for that.
Yeah,
you know, you could say anyway. So then let's see.
Oh, Doug Liman directed Edge of Tomorrow. I didn't remember
Live,
that.
Die, Repeat.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That was actually,
that
good.
Was awesome.
That was a good, that was a good movie.
And he's directing the second one too. So
Live, Die, Repeat.
Well, that's why they call it, this one's gonna be called Live, Die, Repeat. Yeah. Because I thought they fixed everything at the end of the first one. What are they gonna do in the second one?
I don't know.
It's never stopped Hollywood before.
They'll figure it out.
There's a Sting 2.
Yeah, that's
never
right.
Forget that.
Yeah.
Never forget that.
They haven't beaten them at the end of the first one, just so it's clear. They haven't beaten the aliens.
But really?
But they set things back.
But I thought they reset everything.
They just won that day. They won the battle. He made it through that day, meaning
it's Starship
they won
troopers all
and
over
the
again.
Aliens allowed the day to end. And so they're still firmly entrenched.
I thought whatever they did with the water, that thing, I thought that was like their main.
Yes, but there's multiples of them. They set it up earlier on. This is really like up its own ass mythology.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
So like, this is ridiculous.
Maybe I shouldn't see the second one because I really like
that
the first one. I don't know. If I watch the second, they're like, there's another master weapon. I don't know.
So, Jason, they clear out. The Facebook guy is like, I was gonna say something, but never mind. I don't think I'm at liberty to say right now. Never okay. So they go. The girl ends up. She's in the car with, like, I guess, the head of the CIA.
She basically gets Tommy Lee Jones' job.
She does, yeah. She gets Tommy Lee Jones' job, and she kind of says, like, look, I have his trust. And this is the moment where they do the double fake, or the double switch, where you're like, oh, she's not on his team at all. She was playing him the entire time, where she's like, I can get him.
But she really didn't, because she did say, I want to take him down like you do. But for different reasons.
That's true.
I remember her saying that.
In the beginning, or at the end?
Like, it was about a third of the way through. And she was like, I want to...
She was speaking about Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So, and she was like, I want to take him...
They never explained a reason.
She's like, I want to take him down too, but I have reasons of my own, or something like that.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, she just wants his job.
Yeah. So she, you know, kind of lays out that she was actually... She's going to be the bad guy. And then she kind of has an interaction with Jason, kind of Batmans up on her.
Yeah, he meets her on the street.
So she kind of says, like, come in, like, we can take this thing down together. We can fix this, you and me. And he's like, right on. And he walks away. And as he's walking away, she goes back to her car. And in her car is, like, this video of a bug that was in the SUV, and, like, a video of her pretty much saying.
He heard the whole conversation.
He's got the whole thing.
Where she was basically like, if he doesn't come in, I'll kill him.
Right. We'll take him. Well, yeah, we'll put him down either way.
Yeah.
And then the music plays.
And then, like, yeah, do you see him walking away? Or is it just like she's like,
and the music plays.
Yeah, and that's
the same credits. Song they always play.
Yeah, the same.
Jason Bourne will return in
Avengers
Jason.
4.
Yeah.
Dot.
So it's going to be J.
It's just gonna be Bourne. Running out of
it. It's going to be J. Dot Bourne. J. Dot Bourne. And then JB.
And we're recording this early, so we don't know the box office on this yet.
It's going to be huge.
It's like the only
major movie opening this week, right?
Yeah.
And there hasn't been, like, a big action movie in a while.
Not since, like, Independence Day.
Good thing they got it out before Suicide Squad, because that thing's going to dominate.
They're saying that's going to make $135 million.
It's amazing, because a year ago, when I saw them put when I saw them put on their trick-or-treat costumes, and I saw just more than I ever wanted to see about, like set photos and all that, I was so sick of it, and it looked so terrible. And then every trailer progressively got better and better, and then we saw Batman vs Superman, and now I'm like, Suicide Squad. Yeah. I mean, I've changed my tune, I'll admit it, completely. Yeah.
I finally watched one of the trailers.
Which one?
Was it the Comic-Con trailer?
Probably. The editing, the music, like, edits perfectly to each beat.
Maybe, yeah.
Which was really good.
It's going to follow the Dirty Dozen beat for beat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
It's the same. It's the Dirty Dozen with superheroes.
Yep. Well, they said that.
And if you haven't
David Harris has said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he totally said that.
If you haven't seen The Dirty Dozen, you do yourself a favor.
Check that movie out.
I didn't think about it like that.
You go watch The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, he said
that. And I'm not a big, like, war movie, macho guy kind of, but The Dirty Dozen.
Oh,
really?
That's a good movie.
You've never seen The Dirty Dozen?
No,
he's not a real thing.
Oh, gotcha. I'm just saying, I'm not like, you know, like, it's got to be really good. That movie is awesome.
Yeah. David Harris said, like, halfway through production, he's like, just think of The Dirty Dozen with bad guys.
Oh, okay.
Superheroes.
Well, at least they know they're doing it.
Yeah.
That movie's going to be huge, though.
That's going to be massive.
As everyone, it's just amazing that everyone is talking about it. Everyone is talking about how they're excited for it. And I just never would have thought that this, like, third-tier superhero movie, like...
I don't want to compare it to Guardians, but it's their Guardians. That's what it is.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're in deep trouble.
If this flops, if it's bad critically...
After this, all you're going to get is, like, Metal Men on Crackle.
It's going to get the stories of
Joe Dirt.
The stories of Ralph Dibny on Amazon Prime. No, I think if this tanks critically, you'll get Wonder Woman and you'll get Justice League.
Oh, it doesn't matter what it does critically.
No. Well, monetarily.
Yeah.
Like, even...
Two different things.
I'll tell you, if it doesn't do what they expect, like, Batman vs. Superman did not do what they wanted it to do at all.
Yeah.
And I think Suicide Squad needs $750 million all told when it's all said and done.
They didn't want it to suck. No. But
who knew?
So if it makes...
Zack Snyder knows better than us. You need to learn, when you accept that, all these movies become better. He knows better than we do
what these movies should be.
Yeah, just having fun with it, bro. Just chilling out, bro.
I would say he's the Axe body spray of film directors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a bro.
He's the Big Bang Theory of nerds. Hey, can we take offensive stereotypes? Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. So there you go, Jason Bourne. Yeah.
Normally I would have Dan do a video recovery, but he's not here, and I'm not going to bother.
Colin, do you have a video recovery for us?
He's like, what are you talking
about?
Video
recovery.
He's like, I don't listen to this show. I don't know what you're talking about. But we are Danless, so that's okay. Yeah. So that's it for this episode. So let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
You can listen to me. I'm Colin Jeffrey. You can listen Fridays at KTRS or head to lightscamerareview.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S, 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers on our website, RealSpoilers.com. Or, well, you can't really interact with us, but you can find us on iTunes and you could leave us a review, and we would greatly appreciate it. Helps us tremendously. So
if you have a podcast, we'll review our replies to your review on yours, and then that's how we'll communicate through iTunes.
So there you go. That's it for this episode. Next week, the box office report will return, as well as an episode about the Suicide Squad. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Dick Steele rescues Mischievous and launches General Ranker into space.
Can you protect me when I'm wrecked? I pretend you're still alive.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.